everyone, and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, the original Lifestyle CEO, and you have arrived at the one place on your internet dial where we empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Hey, you guys, if you haven't already gotten it, you need to get your hands on a copy of today's USA Today, where the cover story is an article entitled 65 to 59, Many Americans Retire Years Before They Want To. And the subtitle is, When It Comes to Retirement, 59 is the New 65. Of course, this is no news to us. And one of the guys that's featured in the article is a gentleman who worked for many years at a company and had a great deal of retirement benefits coming to him, et cetera, et cetera. And much to his surprise, about 5 years before he was expecting to retire, he was laid off in a downsizing, and he cashed in all of his 401k and his stock options and everything to open a franchise. And he's trying to get the franchise to the point where it can be profitable, living off of his savings, and he's doing really well for a startup business. The problem is, as he describes in the article, that he's always really tired. It's really difficult to work 12-hour days when you're 59 years old. So, for all you guys out there who are looking into the future and understanding that this is not the same economy that our parents and grandparents had when they started looking at raising a family and looking into the future, it's time to get out of that cubicle, widen your horizons, look around, and look for ways to build your own corporate ladder. And to help us do that today, we have Pamela Slim. She is a seasoned life and business coach who helps people excel in all areas of their professional lives, whether they're an entrepreneur trying to get things started or ratcheted up to the next level, or whether someone has a full-time job and is looking to make more of it, make it more fun, make it more beneficial to them. Pam Slim is the person to help out. She's the owner of Ganas Consulting, and Ganas is G-A-N-A-S, and that stands for Inner Fire, Motivation, and Drive in the Spanish language, and we are all about that here at the Lifestyle CEO Show. So I am happy to welcome Pam Slim to the show today.
Hi, thanks for having me here.
Well, it's really great to have you, Pam. And, you know, this article, I know this is the kind of thing that you track and take great interest in reading as well. You know, I was heartbroken when I got to the end of it. It ends with a quote from someone he says he's a 62-year-old salesman, and he really enjoys his job, but he calls himself the, quote, old man on the sales force. And, of course, he lives wondering, you know, when or if the hatchet will ever fall before he gets 65 and some of the government benefits click in. Mm-hmm. But here's the end of the article and his quote. There's no sense of retirement like my parents had. You work until you drop. And
ooh.
I thought, ooh. Well, if you're doing something you really love, maybe that's okay. And that's why this show is here, to help people do that. So, Pam, can you start us out by telling us a little bit about your background and how you came to maneuver from full-time traditional employment to having your own business?
Sure. Well, I started out, my early years actually in school were in international development in Latin America. That's where I got the inspiration for my business name, Ganas, living mm-hmm. in Colombia and Mexico and then Brazil, and I worked my way kind of through the nonprofit area for a while before I landed into corporate training and development mm-hmm. and was a corporate training and development manager at a financial services company. I was pretty much through my 20s is when I was doing that, and I at the same time was a 10-year volunteer executive director for a nonprofit martial arts organization that did lots of work with youth. And so I was always interested. I kind of had that entrepreneurial spirit, but somehow in my mind I didn't connect the volunteer work that I was doing mm-hmm. outside of my pay job with actual entrepreneurial skill development. So when I turned 30, I just was a little bit burned out as to what I was doing, and I quit my job not quite knowing what the next step would be.
Mm-hmm. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. and just kept looking at, and every real job and position I looked at was just not really interesting to me. So my former manager had gone on to Hewlett-Packard, and I just contacted her and asked if she needed a little bit of contract help.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those huge revelations where as soon as I got into working independently, I realized that was what I was meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about 10 years ago. I'm just about to turn 40
mm-hmm.
and have spent about the last 10 years as a consultant to corporations,
mm-hmm.
helping them function better. Since I recently had a son about 15 months ago, that's been another shift and change of direction for my business, and that's where I've been focusing on helping people leave corporate jobs
mm-hmm.
and start their own business.
Isn't it incredible the amount of freedom and flexibility there, especially as a mom? I have two, and they're very young, so I can really relate to what you're saying. Now, and as you know, the Lifestyle CEO listeners out there are also people who just really are pursuing their passion, as a commercially applied passion, or they're looking to do that. So tell me this, Pam. What are a couple of things that you experienced that were a little bit maybe fearful for you, and how did you overcome those when you did this 10 years ago?
Well, probably for me, I was the one in my family, I'm the youngest child, I can't really blame it on that, but I was not the one who was the most financially responsible. My older sister is the one that was so good with finances from the time she started working. I started working when I was 12, actually, at an ice cream store. I've always worked, I've always loved to work, but I also loved to just enjoy myself and didn't really have a very solid base of savings in my account when I started my own business, and I always was worried about that,
mm-hmm.
and I know it's a worry of a lot of my clients. You know, if you don't have the perfect credit score, if you don't have 12 months of savings in your bank account, can you really do it?
Mm-hmm.
For me, the way that I really mitigated that was that I look for what I call in my consulting world a stable Mabel or steady Eddie clients, and those were consulting contracts that I knew lasted a long time that were pretty involved
mm-hmm.
and that would provide me the kind of stable income that I needed just to cover my expenses
mm-hmm.
so that then I could, I could make sure that I was able to do it financially. And over time, and it really was just a wonderful part of my business, I really leaned on my strengths, which for me have been building relationships with people. And for the first really 8-9 years of my business, I never did any kind of sales and marketing. It was all based on word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really nurtured my network and continually got referrals. And I never went more than 2 months without having some significant projects happening and some really good ones that would tide me over.
Right, and you didn't have kids at the time either, right?
I didn't have kids, that's right, and wasn't married. So it really was just myself, and I didn't have those kind of obligations, which I know is a different thing. But I found that money is actually a huge fear that many people have if they haven't had a perfect financial history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I it's interesting that you say that because a lot of times that really is, and it's a real issue because obviously you have to eat, you have to have money in order to eat.
Right.
And so if you have a family, it's even more important because you got to buy those diapers. But, I love the way you kind of describe just being able to find a way to have some bread and butter, as you kind of describe it. So no matter what you sell, whether it's services or products, you can try to find a couple of customers, a couple of clients that really, really are almost wedded to you and what you provide that's so unique.
Right.
And you can continue to nurture those relationships and grow them so that you always at least have kind of a basis.
It's really true. Well, and as you think about, for some of your listeners that are out there that are really trying to make kind of baby steps towards this, because it is something that you want to test out, you want to try out. I probably, like you, once I got out there and I started doing it, it was just in my nature, and I love it. I love being an entrepreneur. I just thrive in that environment. I love uncertainty. I love change.
Uh-huh.
And for many people, they don't have that same kind of feeling. Once they get out there, it can be kind of panic-filled.
Uh-huh.
So if you can make some interim steps, and for some people, it's even just shifting from being a full-time employee to being an independent contractor in the same kind of field that they're in, but doing it as an independent person, that can be a way to get your feet wet to understand what you need to have in place on a legal and financial basis, getting your business license and dealing with your taxes and things like that. And so you can use that as an interim stage before you move into something else, or maybe just working for a smaller firm that is more entrepreneurial.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to just chuck it all and start clean. You can find ways that you can kind of ease into it.
Right. Such great advice. And in today's economy, it's also, wouldn't you say, a good idea to do that, because employers these days are more prone to chuck it for us.
Right.
It's nice to have something to come home for. I was talking to a friend the other day, and I said, yeah, if it ever happens and you have your own business, even if all it consists of is a few, you know, tentative steps out there on the internet, then the morning after you're laid off, you have something to do.
Exactly. I feel like it's a rally cry that I have that I just keep saying more and more now. And it's when I was inside corporations, a lot of people would pull me aside after I was doing a retreat or a coaching session, and they'd say, God, you know, I'd love to go out on my own, but I'm just really worried about losing my security. And I'd say, wait a minute, to me, it's much less secure to be in a corporate environment because of all the uncertainty.
Yeah.
And if we can just shift our mentality to think we're all self-employed, we are all self-employed. It does not matter who gives us our paycheck. If you manage your career that way, just as you said, if anything happens to you, you're already a couple steps ahead. You might have, as you said, an internet business. You might have crafts you do on the sides. People I know make jewelry at the same time of being a marketing manager. It'll be some form of an income stream that can help you.
We're all free agents, right?
Exactly.
Well, Pam, I got to tell you that I love, you know, the description that you provided of kind of how you sort of were naturally drawn to it. And you're right, everybody doesn't have that kind of mindset. But in today's economy, I'm hoping that what the work that you're doing and the work that we're doing through the Lifestyle CEO will encourage people to try and get that mentality, if at all possible. Because it's like saying, I was having a conversation with someone not too long ago, and a younger person who said, well, you know, college isn't for everyone. And you know, when we talk about entrepreneurialism not being for everyone, it's kind of like, yeah, well, you know, but sometimes life circumstances kind of force people to think about things a little bit differently, step outside their comfort zone a little bit more aggressively than they otherwise would.
Exactly. Well, it's something that touches all of us. It's like you said, we all should have a good financial education, even if we're not necessarily drawn to that, to be an accountant. It's one of those things that can help. And actually, in today's paper I was just reading here in Arizona, they're writing about how many more college students are now going to entrepreneurial courses.
Yeah.
Because they're seeing what's happened to their parents and their grandparents, and they're already subverting the whole process of even, you know, beginning to work as an employee at all. And I found that really fascinating. If you have any teenage nieces and nephews or people in your life, you know that they're so much quicker often to glom onto things than we were, just especially with their ease of use of technology. And I think don't have the same fear that some people do that have really grown up still in a corporate environment, that are just afraid of what it means to actually be an entrepreneur.
Right. It really is exciting to see. And I'm hoping that more and more people, schooling institutions will extend that into, you know, the elementary school and junior high and senior high school years.
Exactly.
That needs to take place, too. So you're a mom. Now, how old is your son?
My son's 15 months old.
And so you have working from home, a lot of things going on, and we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, Pamela is going to share with us some of her tips for balancing life and business, and we're going to talk a little bit more in some detail about how you can, as Pamela's blog says, escape from Cubicle Nation. This is Lifestyle CEO. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. For those of you who don't know, we have got Pam Slim here with us today, and she is sharing with us some of her tips for balancing work and family, and we're going to ask her some questions about that. But before we do, I want to remind you listeners out there that this Saturday, July 15th, is the Business Growth Conference in Secaucus, New Jersey. And we've got speakers to help you address the core four of your business. And you guys know what that is. That's your creation of your intellectual property and leveraging your intellectual property, hiring employees and contractors to help you grow your business, making your online cash register ring, that is helping you set up shopping cart functions at your website that are user-friendly, easy to manage, and reliable, and also how to get media attention for your business, your products, and your services. If you cover these four things and make sure you keep covering them over and over again, put the needle on the record, as I say, you will be successful. So I hope you can join us. If you'd like some more information and to fill out a registration form, you can register anytime. You can even come at the door, but there is a extra fee if you come at the door. In Secaucus, New Jersey, this Saturday, July 15th, go to handmadebeauty.com to learn more and to register. So, Pam, you have got a husband, you have got a 15-month-old, and you also have a stepson, if I remember correctly. And so you've got, you know, a lot of things going on out there in Arizona. How do you balance, you know, being so drawn into your work and doing such a good job? I know your blog is incredible. It's escapefromcubiclenation.com. Is that right?
That's right.
And so, I mean, you maintain that. You've got some really interesting articles there. Plus, you're doing consulting. Plus, you're taking time out of your busy schedule to be on my show. How do you balance all this?
Well, I feel very, very lucky. I have a wonderfully supportive husband and also my son. My son, I actually call him my bonus son because somehow stepson just doesn't seem to cut it. He's just such a delightful young man. And he is in college right now. And his girlfriend is actually studying to be an elementary school teacher. And so when I, during the day when I'm writing and consulting, they're, especially during the summertime, they're able to take care of my son.
And,
yeah, which is, I just really consider myself so lucky and blessed in that way because I know that many people struggle with the issue of childcare. And I you know, think whatever, everybody does it different ways. And to me, it's whatever works. I don't have any judgment at all about, you know, what people choose to do.
I love that, whatever works.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it really, you know, everybody talks about the mommy wars and all these things. I kind of find fascinating because for me, it's just, how do you really feel yourself? You know, what makes you feel happy and content and doing what you feel you need to do for your family and for yourself?
Yeah.
So for me, it was just a very natural flow of the way things worked where when I had my son, I was able to have my bonus son watch him during the day. When he's in school, he has usually 3 days of classes, so then I just adjust my working schedule accordingly. And I have gotten used to working without a lot of sleep. I do tend to write in the evenings when my family is sleeping, usually about maybe 9 o'clock till midnight or so is when I do a lot of my writing, articles and blog posts.
Isn't that true that what you've just described, I think no matter how much assistance or you know, bonus help, whatever it is that you call it, that works for you, no matter how much you have, moms just don't get a lot of sleep.
It's true.
And I just think, you know, it seems to be just completely universal. I don't know any, you know, ultra-rich, like movie stars or whatever, but I can only imagine, you know, particularly if you're nursing, and if you may have someone else to do all the work for you, but you're still, you know, hopefully managing the household and overseeing things, that's a lot of work.
Exactly. It's really true. Well, and I also, because my husband has a business, a construction business, and so I try to help out there as well just to take care of some things that I can during the week. And it, really, he's supporting so much for this phase of knowing that I'm not up full-time consulting as I was before and contributing the same kind of income. But, you know, I found one thing, and especially since about a year ago I shifted my focus from mainly, as I said, consulting to corporations and working working in an entrepreneurial field, mm-hmm. it is so exciting to me, and it's so invigorating. I just feel like I'm kind of possessed all the time. I get so excited. Mm-hmm. I can be walking my son around the neighborhood in the stroller and just enjoying being outside, but my mind is just going with ideas and mm-hmm. ideas for articles or blog posts, and mm-hmm. because I'm doing something I'm so passionate about, it, mm-hmm. it makes it where I actually can get by in a lot less sleep.
Yeah.
And I remember times when I have done even consulting projects that were very difficult, I felt like I was just exhausted all the time. And it just took so much energy to work up just to be doing something that I didn't enjoy. So I think that's another lesson that I've learned, and I talk about with my clients as well, is it's another reason to be doing something that you're really passionate about.
That's a really good point. And, you know, you're talking lifestyle CEO listener language, too, when you talk about that passion. Everyone that that you know comes to this show is really passionate about something, and someone with your background is so valuable because what you do, because you can help people transition from being passionate about something to figuring out a way to generate income from that, and I guess more specifically as well, how to overcome some of those fears and reservations that might exist. So you work with people to help them do that, right?
Exactly. What my real focus is right now is working with people that are in a corporate job currently. And that really, it's my people, as I call them. I really feel very connected because I did work with those folks for so many years inside corporations, and I really understand the dynamics that exist within a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
what I find is a lot of them are very intelligent and motivated and educated and have access to a lot of information and resources. But it's the process of how do you go from when you're working full-time to actually making it happen till that point where you can kick off your business. And there's a number of things that happen during that transition stage. First of all, how do you create the time to do it? How do you really find time in your schedule if you have a family and you're working full-time to actually work on your business?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing. It's just how do you begin to shift priorities
mm-hmm.
and leverage what you're doing inside a corporation to maybe learn things you need to learn to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you've talked about a lot, which I find with my folks as well, is dealing with a fear. And even if funny, even if people can't stand their job, they're just so burnt out, they can't stand their company, there's something about the identity that they have in society. If you have a business card that says Vice President of Marketing for IBM, for example,
mm-hmm.
your parents understand what you do, your neighbors understand. It's something that's very easy for you to describe.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to go off into a new area of your life, it often kind of freaks people out, and it can freak you out too, and just lead you to that self-doubt, like, what am I really doing? Why would I give up my own job? Why would I give up the comfort of what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I find them, in particular, it's very interesting. With a lot of folks that I work with, people of color from different backgrounds, some of them have been, it's the first time that they're the only person in their family that's graduated from college.
Mm-hmm.
They are the first ones that are, you know, going into a corporation and having a big job, and they just get so much flack from family members
mm-hmm.
for leaving that to do something that's more entrepreneurial.
Yeah, and a lot of times, sometimes I notice, too, that the flack is going to come from somewhere. It's definitely going to come because people have different motivations for giving you flack. Some of them are scared for you. Some of them are jealous. I mean, there's all kinds of things. But it's interesting that you talk about having been in that corporate environment. I want to ask you this. I want to share this about what happened to me and then ask you if this sounds familiar. When I left, I remember they gave me a little party, and I actually left on a couple of different occasions. But one time, the last time I left, I had a little party, and people were, you know, my boss threw me a little going away, a little farewell party, good luck kind of thing. And afterward, so many people came in my office. These are people I had worked with for many years and had known quite well professionally, came into my office and had a seat and just dumped about all the things they wanted to quit their jobs to do.
Right.
And I mean, I write a play, study ballet. I mean, it was amazing. And these are people who would never have had these conversations with me had I not been a person who kind of just went out and did it.
I'm telling you, have you read, you know, the poet Marianne Williamson?
Yes.
Right? Sure. She has that one line that I know Nelson Mandela used in his inaugural speech in 1994, and it's, when you let your own light shine, you give others permission to do the same.
Oh, yeah.
And it's we're afraid of our light, not our darkness. You know, it's when you actually embrace that, it really happens. Just what you're describing is what happens, that when people see you actually make a move to quit, to start your own business, all of a sudden they realize that it is possible. And that's the power of it, and that's one of the reasons that can really keep you motivated. If, as a parent as well, it's exciting to have your kids watch you and see that you're doing something that you love and that you're excited by.
That is a real fun part, too, is being able to kind of share it with them and help them to be a part of it. So when you talk to these people in corporate America, let's talk about, let's narrow it down to something that most of my listeners and you and I as well could just probably talk about forever. Let's talk about moms who are out there. Maybe they've just had their first child, and they're going back to work, or they recently went back to work, and they're like, you know, this is just not the only option that I have. What kinds of things do you say to that woman to help her to kind of find that light that you're talking about and really explore other options?
Well, the starting point I find is, and I've gotten a lot of good inspiration from my friends over at Startup Nation. You might have heard of them as well, startupnation.com. There's Rich and Jeff Sloan.
Yes, I have startupnation.com, and I know I just asked a question, but I'm being told by my engineer, who's waving madly in the background, that I have to take a break.
Okay.
So we're going to take a break and come back and talk about what Pam Slim would tell that mom who's out there, new mom, trying to figure out what her options are and how she can do something a little bit different. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show, where Pamela Slim of Gonis Consulting is going to share with us some of the things that she would say to you, Lifestyle CEO out there, mom, fairly new mom, trying to figure out how to work your talent and your background into an income-producing opportunity so you can have more time with your family. Take it away, Pamela.
Okay, well, as I was saying before the break, a good starting place and one that we often don't start with is actually starting with your life plan. Many people, when they think, gosh, what business should I start, immediately go towards looking to the market and saying, you know, how much money could I make doing this, or what is my current skill set, and how could I use it out there to make money? I actually recommend, and this is where I'm saying my friends over at Startup Nation talk about this too, start with your life plan. And your life plan is really designing for yourself exactly what your life would look like. What kind of life do you want to have? Where would you live? What is your typical day like? What kind of time are you spending with your family? What's the general type of activities that you'd be interested in doing? Would you be painting outside? Would you be on the phone? Would you be writing? Really just try to get clear as to what would your perfect life look like. How often would you be working? How much money would you need to make? And get that picture clear first, so that then when you start to move into designing a business, you have something to actually make decisions around, and you have a criteria to work with. So often people start with looking at just how can I make a quick buck, and even if you can make money doing it, you can end up being in actually a worse situation working for yourself from home than you can as an employee, because there are no boundaries. Mm-hmm. And so you need to have something to kind of set yourself some parameters, and that's always where I recommend starting, is in creating that life plan first.
Okay, so really setting some goals so you have some some specific parameters around which to make your decision.
Exactly. And it's really about what kind of life do you want to have? And it's including what kind of relationship do you want to have with your spouse, with your partner? What kind of relationship do you want to have with your kids? And just get clear about that first before you start to go to the second step, which is about creating your business.
Yeah, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned that spouse and significant other issue, because the life plan that we create might be changed a little bit by the extent to which our partner is willing and or able to support our entrepreneurial ventures.
Exactly. You need to do that. As a creative individual, you need to get your own vision clear, and then you really need to talk about it with your spouse. And when you agree to it and you're both in sync about that, that's going to make it so much easier because you both have that long-term vision. Mm-hmm. With my husband and I, Daryl and I, we know that in about 5 years we want to be in Sedona, Arizona. For any listeners who have been there, it's just a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. We're in Phoenix right now. It's a little hot in the summer. We know we want to be there, and we've agreed upon that. So every step that we take in our business now is moving us towards that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And because we both have it, we're willing to really work very hard to make it happen in the next mm-hmm. number of years.
Yeah, that makes such a huge difference. Now, what would you say to a mom out there whose husband is a little fearful of, his wife not having that income anymore? I know I get this question a lot from people who just say, you know, he won't let me quit, or sometimes they do say it that way, but some variation of that. What kind of advice would you offer for them, Pamela?
Yeah, well, I think it's really starting to get underneath what that real fear is. And mm-hmm. if you can have somebody articulate, there's one thing, like you said, somebody might just react saying, you know, God, don't quit your job, we need the money.
Mm-hmm.
And really help them to articulate what in particular, exactly how much income is necessary. You know,
right.
What are their specific
right.
fears?
Right. Is the money, or is it the big screen TV?
Exactly.
You know, right. So narrow it down.
Narrow it down. Get very clear and concrete. The other thing is, and this is, it's one of the hard, it's the good and the hard things about being in a relationship. You also need to get clear. Maybe they have anxiety that you can't really do it. Maybe they're unclear that you can be successful, and that's really what the real fear is,
mm-hmm.
and not about the short-term income.
Right. Or so they really just don't understand what it is that you want to do.
Exactly. And you just need to really sit down and it might take a whole series of conversations to really understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think is there's as you know, a huge price to be paid if you're doing work that you really don't enjoy. And after a while, it really does start to kind of hit your soul and your heart, and you don't have that same light, you're not as happy, you can't be as supportive, you're just not as engaged in your life, and that's a huge mm-hmm. price to pay. And I think
yeah.
if you can also explain that as to what would it mean if you were able to do that.
Right, that affects that relationship so much.
Yeah.
It's funny that you said sometimes, you know, they're not really clear about what you want to do. I've had my business for several years now, and my husband and I do have a life plan that actually does include moving to another part of the country in the future. It's so funny. I was telling my parents about it last night, and, you know, my father, bless his heart, of course, is just always concerned about, you know, everything's going to be okay and everything's going to still be paid for and you can do this. And I said, yeah, and he said, now that business you have, what exactly do you do again?
Right.
And it's funny, you know, I've explained it a million times. I've given him the magazines and the books and everything. And, so do I be insulted? Are you not reading the things that I give you? But it's so interesting, Pamela, that they just come from such a different mindset. And the world was so different when he was my age. And of course, younger than me when he was really, you know, getting out of college and things. The things you have to look forward to and the circumstances you can expect to face have changed so remarkably.
Exactly. It's really the true acid test of a good brand, isn't it, if you can explain it to your parents or your grandparents and they get it?
My goodness. Well, I hope not, because I've been doing it forever. My dad, anyway, still doesn't get it. I don't like that acid test. But anyway, yeah, it's just a different world.
Yes, it is. It is. And I think men and women sometimes are wired differently. I know I have good friends who the man in the relationship doesn't have any problem whatsoever in conflict. He can be in a very contentious work situation,
mm-hmm.
and really deal with it fine. And he doesn't bring it home, and he's able to deal with that. The
mm-hmm.
woman in the relationship is totally devastated by it. And if she's not doing work that she likes, it ends up taking a huge toll on her personally, on her health.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the kinds of things that also need to be discussed. And where you really can't come to any kind of agreement, you know, there's probably bigger issues you need to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's such good advice in such a tough area, because I know I've talked with people and worked with people before, and to some extent, in a small way, you know, I deal with this in my business and my family relationships, is that, you know, circumstances change.
Yes.
And so your whole outlook and desire in terms of what you want to do in your life can completely change based on circumstances from when that person married you.
That's right.
And that's just, I guess, one of the things about, you know, having staying together be part of your life plan, because if that's not part of it, then it is easy to say, well, you know, you've changed. And, you know, if you're not going to still be working, how could you expect me to stay here?
Well, it's true, and it goes both ways, right? It's the same thing where when you really tune into your spouse and what is important to him,
mm-hmm.
Then you realize you also need to be focusing there. You know, what is really going to make him energized and excited and make sure that you're also really, you know, supporting him and doing what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that where you have that focus and it really is for that, you know, good support for each other,
mm-hmm.
then it works. But you're right, you know, we all are afraid of change. Even those that, you know, have an easier time at making change, it's scary, and it's really scary.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to talk about it. That's the main thing, is talking about it.
Yeah. So once you've done that, and let's just say you have a spouse who's supportive, and then, you know, here's another thing that people face, of course, too, is, you know, let's just say you do go ahead and sort of work on your, you know, one-year transition plan.
Right.
How about not burning those bridges?
I think that is a huge thing. Do you mean with your current employer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's hugely important, and the world is just so small, and you never know. There could be somebody that you work with that ends up being a client based on what your services are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you ever want to burn your bridges. You always want to have integrity and be thankful. I think we can sometimes poke fun and have fun talking about the man and the corporation and mm-hmm. being oppressed and all those things, but, you know, we all make a choice to stay in a situation, and
mm-hmm.
I'm always really thankful, no matter where my income is coming from. I'm thankful for that source. And I think that if you develop that attitude of being grateful for your employment, and just, there are things that are going to drive you nuts, but just try to really see the best in people that you work with. When you are making that transition, be as upfront as you can, and you need to assess things. In different companies, there's different cultures. Some will really appreciate having a 3-month heads up to know
mm-hmm.
that you're actually, you know, starting something new, you may be leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Other corporate cultures might immediately get rid of you once they find that out, you know, find a convenient way to
mm-hmm.
terminate your position or whatever. So you have to kind of be careful about it.
Mm-hmm.
But never, I just always recommend, never use the reason for leaving just by saying, oh, I can't stand this company and you don't support me and I'm not developing and therefore I'm going to leave. You know, the real reason is I really have a vision for myself. I'm excited about starting a business, and that's really the next step that I want to take.
Mm-hmm.
When you put it in that language, you take your responsibility for your own personal power, and I think that it also makes it where you can keep a good relationship with your employer.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean they'll totally understand it always, but I just think it's being ethical and responsible.
Right. And if you're a service provider, it can also help, because sometimes I've had several friends and colleagues who've had business thrown their way by that company.
Exactly.
Well, that's a good point, too. Well, we're going to take our last break, Pamela, and when we come back, we're going to talk with you a little bit more about steps to take to exit the Cubicle Nation, and we're going to talk a little bit about your services as well and how we can get in touch with you more. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. We're here with Pam Flynn from Gonis Consulting, and she is sharing with us sort of what's turning out to be like a 4 or 5 step plan to actually making your escape from Cubicle Nation, as her blog is entitled. And Pam, we had gotten through the sort of adjusting your internal mindset, talking with your family members and significant others, dealing with job-related issues if you have a full-time job, and so now we're at the point where we're about to take the plunge. You got any tips on how to do that?
Exactly, and this actually can happen really maybe a year or even two, depending on your plans before you leave. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people have fears about financial plans. Once you leave, it's harder sometimes to get like a home equity loan, or if you are not a homeowner already, it's harder to get a home when you're self-employed.
Yeah.
And also people have a lot of concerns about benefits. That's probably the number one question that people ask me that they're afraid about, is how they can self-fund their benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a number of things. First of all, you should just take real close assessment about what you actually need and look at your own financial situation and think about, from a financial planning perspective, how much money can you actually set aside, and obviously the sooner you can set aside money specifically to support your transition time, the better. It often is a good time when you're still employed to do something like getting a home equity line of credit. I was just talking with Lynette Calfani, who's the money coach, themoneycoach.net, and she's a really interesting woman, has written a number of books, including Zero Debt. And she was just saying how it's really important to sometimes get things in place before you leave, because a lot of financial institutions will look at your own situation based on, you know, what your current employment status is. So even if you don't think that you're going to need your line of credit, you might want to get it first before you go out on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And also things like disability insurance. Sometimes you can get bridges for that while you're still employed to cover yourself if you're concerned about it. You should also check very carefully into different types of insurance that is available. If you have any kind of pre-existing conditions, I realize that can be sometimes a concern for people.
Mm-hmm.
So begin to have conversations early with different insurance providers.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody needs to continue what we call the COBRA coverage, which is just that extended period of benefits that can often be a lot more costly.
Mm-hmm.
If you're paying your portion of what your employer would pay.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kinds of things just on your own personal finance side, mm-hmm, that are really important to get in place before you go. Everybody has different theories about how much money to save. I know people say having at least 12 months worth of salary in the bank is a good target. I know of very few people who are actually able to do that. And those who are, I think it's great if they've been planning it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But just get extremely clear as to what your financial situation is, I think, is a very important step.
Mm-hmm. So, there's so many issues that you just talked about, and these are like the real financial. This is where the rubber meets the road in terms of being able to provide for yourself, and especially if you have children, because they need health insurance, or they should have health insurance if you can at all get it.
Right.
And those are really, really tough issues. If you have, I know in my own checking around, this may have changed, but I think it's still the same, that you cannot get a plan that just covers your children.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, and again, I looked a lot, and this was 4 or 5 years ago, but now I wonder if that's still the case, because, you know, circumstances have changed and a lot more people are starting businesses. I just thought it was awful that I couldn't cover my children.
I know. I'm doing a lot of research in with that now with a benefit specialist as well, just to understand it, because it is such an issue for my readers.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways around it. Again, a lot of it depends on your own personal situation.
Mm-hmm.
As an individual, I never have had problems. I didn't have any real pre-existing health conditions or anything, so I've never had a problem getting my own health insurance just through,
mm-hmm,
like Blue Cross, you know, Blue Shield.
Right.
It was pretty straightforward, and that was before I had kids. And then
when
I did, then it was easy to get them covered as well.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with my husband. But you want to check it out as much as you can beforehand. And I've noticed just even in advertisements, like in Entrepreneur Magazine lately,
mm-hmm,
there are a number of insurance agencies, and I'm going to, of course, forget their names, but some that are specifically targeting the self-employed market right now.
Yeah, that is really, really true. And in any Entrepreneur Magazine or any magazine at the bookstore,
right,
will have those kind of ads in them. So thanks for mentioning that, because it is such an incredible issue. And I would imagine that for many people, it is the one thing that ultimately ends up stopping them.
Exactly. And that it's a big fear, but I found once you can really get clear and specific about it, that can stop a lot of the fear once you just realize what it is. There's a myth out there that you cannot get insurance if you're self-employed, and that's simply not the case.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to make certain choices around it. So that's a big one. Now, the fun stuff is actually creating your business and your business plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I was reading something on your website. You've also talked and written about that, too. You don't need to have 152 pages of financial spreadsheets and graphs, which just freaks some people out.
Pie charts and stuff.
Oh, my gosh. You know, it can be daunting to look at that as a task. But you do, I believe, need to have a well-articulated business plan, just something that you can explain to potential clients or employees or maybe investors if you go down that route.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you do get clarity about what kind of work that you really are passionate about doing and that you would really love to do, things that you'd like to do to start a business, that's where you really go out and do a lot of research. Just, you know, investigate as much as you can. Read. I'm just a voracious reader, and I have a huge stack of books by my bathtub where
yeah.
at 12:35 before I go to bed, I'll make sure I get a chapter or something in of a book,
mm-hmm.
because that's been a way that I've really learned a lot to prepare me for
mm-hmm.
business.
Yeah, and thank God for the Internet, too, a great source of information for research like that.
Exactly.
And have you seen the commercial, Pam, where there's two bankers in this really swank office, you know, and they're smoking their cigars or whatever, and they're looking over all their loan applications, and there's a little guy, like a Lilliputian kind of guy, walking around on the banker's desk, pointing at his pie charts.
Yes.
About his business plan, and the banker steps on him and scrapes him off the bottom of his shoe.
I've seen that.
And says, those small business owners. I thought, you know, and I can't remember, wouldn't it be great if I could remember the name of the bank? I think it was Wachovia, although we're not plugging any particular banking institution. The point was, you know, and this is so great because it's an indication that, you know, the banking institutions and the organizations that can help us with our businesses are really working hard and spending a lot of money to get our attention.
Yes. Well, and there is such an upsurgence because of everything happening in the economy. I think institutions
mm-hmm.
realizing that a lot of people are going to be starting their own business.
Right.
And so things are changing, albeit slowly. The other thing, which I know that I found to be really important, is to begin to develop a whole network of mentors or guides. And it's so amazing. Just since I started blogging in October of last year,
mm-hmm.
I have been absolutely floored with the amount of contacts and wonderful support and really tens of thousands of people that I've come in contact with. If
mm-hmm.
you, any of your listeners are interested in starting any kind of a service-based business or even something that might be worth blogging about and writing about, where you have an important message to share,
mm-hmm.
that is a wonderful way to begin to build community.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't not even tell you how much great things have come my way just as a result of doing that. I had one blog post I wrote recently that was plugged by Guy Kawasaki, and if you know of him, he wrote Start and in Garage Technology Ventures.
Right.
He blogged about it. I just sent him an email, thought he might be interested. He blogged about it, and in 5 days I had 20,000 hits to my blog.
Yep.
I
yep.
had, you know, Tom Peters mention it on his website, and I was just floored by the power of getting your voice out, you know, through the
yeah.
blog world. So that's
yeah, and the power of actually sharing information.
Exactly.
With people. It's no matter what kind of business you have, I'm a strong believer in having a blog and or a newsletter
right.
to complement it.
Exactly, and that's something that you can start. Just be careful about disclosure arrangements with your company, but if you're writing about something unique that's not about your corporate job but something unique, you can start your blog while you're still an employee.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to start a, you know, some kind of creative business, you can start to really build that, and you'll need people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes I call people peer mentors as well, people that you admire that you run across on the Internet or you read their books.
Mm-hmm.
Begin to contact them, and they're going to be the encouraging ones that have actually done it. You want to have examples like that in your life
yeah.
to help balance some of your friends and family that might not know what the heck you're doing.
Yeah, and that's such a good point, is that one of the best ways to learn is to learn by their example, learn from their mistakes, and take that. There's so many good books on the market today, people who have written about their experiences, and even a growing number of people that have collected stories by other people and
yes.
put them together in book form. Very, very good information out there.
Exactly.
Now, how can we get in touch with you, Pamela?
I can be found either at www.ganas.com. That's G as in go, A N as in Nancy, A S as in Sam.com, or at my blog, which is escapefromcubiclenation.com.
Love that, Escape from Cubicle Nation. It just paraphrases in such succinct form, the way so many people are feeling today.
Exactly. Well, as much as we all take responsibility for our own choices, there is something that can be very oppressive about corporations today
mm-hmm.
that just makes you feel like you don't have any power, and we all really have it, so I feel very charged up.
We sure do have it, and so and at ganas.com is where we can go to learn more about your services.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and I do right now, just based on my own situation, I do some coaching. I'm developing mm-hmm. also with Startup Nation. I'm going to be doing a kind of a teleclass series to work with a group of people
mm-hmm.
through the 10 steps to open for business, and that'll
mm-hmm.
probably be happening in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also going to be writing a book, which I'm excited about.
Good, good. So is it going to be called Escape from Cubicle Nation, or is that
got
the
it.
Title?
That's the title.
Great. Well, we'll definitely be looking for that. Pamela Slim, thank you so much for joining me on today's show. And thanks for sharing all your great information. And one of the things that Pam talked about, you guys, was the fact that a blog can really help you grow your business. And that was just a perfectly timed, although not planned, comment. Because next week we are going to have on the show Debbie Weil, who is the corporate blogging expert. And she's going to talk about how to blog, why to blog, when not to blog, how to make your blog great, and how to avoid some of the mistakes that some bloggers make. You want your blog to be read, and Debbie's going to be here next week to tell us how to do that. That's next week right here on the Lifestyle CEO Show. In the meantime, break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.